Well, since there's all this talk about the words that have come forth in the last couple weeks, they're always important, but these are just really important. sometimes we need to be more diligent individually with the words that come forth and to go over them and to study them and to live by them. And there's probably times when, as a church, we should have spent more time on them and we just get excited that there was a word and say, okay, God, what else you want to say? You know, just like, as long as he says something, everything's cool. Well, he says something, and he's got a lot to say, but he's telling us for a reason. So I'm going to share the word from January 1st. This is definitely a word for the whole body of Christ, but it's a word for now. It's a word about now, and there's a lot of things, you know, that we need to continue to grow in our personal lives and our personal walk with God and grow and mature in the things of God. But in the meantime, while we're doing that, we've got to be involved in what God is saying for now. So I know this is slightly lengthy, but I'm going to go ahead and just read this whole word, because it'll just bless you to hear it again, because it's from the heart of God. And then we're just going to look at some things from it. He said, what will this new year bring? What will it bring into your lives and into the earth? This will be a year of surprises, says the Lord, for many will be caught without expectation. They will be caught unawares, for many are running around saying, peace, peace, but it's not that time of the year. And they will be undone because they believe in false hope. This will be a year when nations will continue to rise and continue to fall. There will be a turning of fortunes for many, and it will bring discontentment, and it will bring confusion into the realms of finances and into the political leadership. But for those who will walk with me, says the Lord, I will cover them with my glory. I will cover them with my arm. For the enemy shall come in one way, but he shall flee seven ways before you. For I am setting up a guard, says the Lord, over those who seek my face. And the calamities of the world, they will watch them occur, but yet they will not feel the effect. Even though those around them will feel the effect and will feel the shock waves, yet my people will not be caught unaware, says the Lord. For I am showing forth through my prophets, I am showing forth through my word, fresh revelation, a fresh understanding that has been lost, and I will bring it to the forefront. And those who are hungry will hear me, says the Lord, and they will conform their lives to the fresh revelation, to the fresh understanding. For I am bringing out of the old new things that have been hidden until now. And for those who receive them and walk in them, oh, they shall walk in my glory, says the Lord. They shall walk in my knowledge, and they shall see things before they occur, because I will make provision for them, so that when those things happen that the world cries out, calamity, calamity, we'll just say, yep, there it goes. That's what the Lord said. For this world shall wax worse and worse, but my sheep people shall be transformed from glory into glory. This is not a time to put away your resolutions. It's not a time to put away those things and say, well, that didn't work last year. No, this is the year to hang on to those things that are firm, to hang on to me, saith the Lord. For many the ride will be rough and will be full of ups and downs, but those who hang on to me, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. And I will bring them through, and the world will begin to look at you and wonder, what is different about you? What sets you apart that though all these things are happening, that you retain peace? And they will come to you and ask you, how are you doing this? And I will open up doors in this year, saith the Lord. Well, you will begin to bear witness to those who have been shut off and closed for years and years and years. But the time may be brief. It may not last for a long time. So prepare yourself now. Gird up your loins, says the Lord, and prepare to be a witness unto me. Prepare to live holy unto me, says the Lord, for I am holy. For there are many things which I have yet to share with my people, says the Lord. Do not begin to think that you've come to the end of my revelation. Oh, no, 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 for I have much to reveal, but I cannot reveal it to many because they're still on milk, because they haven't passed on to the higher things and the deeper things of intimacy with me, says the Lord. If I would share it with them, they wouldn't understand and they wouldn't comprehend it, and would actually bring confusion to some. But to those who are mature, oh, I've got revelation for you, and you're going to read my word, and it'll begin to pop out for you, and understanding will begin to come, and revelation is going to come, and not just of the end times, but how to live. of how to walk before me, says the Lord. For this is the day when I am gathering my children. This is the hour that my body is coming together, and we shall be one, saith the Father. Praise God. Isn't that rich? Oh, man, that is so good. And as I'm reading through it, I'm seeing a couple of things that I didn't catch before, and it's like, ooh, but I'll try to stay on track. But what I want to look at this evening, a phrase, when the word was given, the day that it was coming forth, one of the phrases that just grabbed me was when he referred to us as sheep people. And that just hit me. It's just like there's something there. We need to be concerned about that. So we're going to look tonight at about being sheep people. And just some of the things that I'm going to look through this word, just some things to pull out of it. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures. I know it may seem laborious, but this is a word of the Lord. It is God's word, but it's stuff he's already said. He just puts fresh timing. There's just a time for everything, and there's time for certain words at certain times, and they're always true, and they're always good, but there's just certain now times where the word is specific. And some of the things that I'm just pulling out of this word that we're going to look at this evening, he talked about for those who walk with me, about walking with the Lord. These, I believe, are all just things that he's listed in this word about what sheep people are. They walk with the Lord. He talks about those who are hungry will hear me. If you're having trouble hearing from God, you need to get hungry. You need to be hungry for God. Because a lot of times it's real easy to just say, God, what about this? Or what do I do here? And then you just go on about your daily life and just, you don't take time to listen. You would like to have an answer, but you're not hungry enough to sit at the table and wait till you're served. But also, conform their lives to the fresh revelation. When Jesus came to the earth and began to preach, he was bringing out fresh revelation. He wasn't necessarily teaching them, quote, new things. And sometimes, you know, when people talk about, well, it's a fresh revelation from God, it's something new from God, people can think that, well, it's something that isn't in the Bible, it's something new. And a lot of times there are Christians that are looking for something new that's out beyond the Word, but nothing's new. Everything's in here, but it's fresh, new revelation. And that's what God's going to be pouring out. That's what Jesus did. He was taking the Old Testament, the words that they had studied and heard, the prophets and the law. I mean, this was going on daily in the synagogue all the time, all this teaching. And he was revealing it to them. And for those that were hungry to hear from God, they were conforming their lives to that fresh revelation. The ones that weren't hungry for God, that just wanted to have the position and be able to teach the word, they did not want to conform. And they're the ones that crucified Jesus because they didn't like this new information. They liked it where they were boss and they got to tell everybody what to do and get the honor and, you know, in the places and in town and that kind of stuff. That's what they wanted. They didn't want fresh revelation. They wanted their position. And we have to make sure that we want that fresh revelation. We want to conform to what God is saying. We aren't just content to, well, I know this much and I know more than other people and I can tell them where they're wrong and where, you know, and I can tell them how they need Jesus or they're going to go to hell and all that kind of stuff. We want to conform to that fresh revelation. He says that sheep people will walk in his glory. And that they'll be transformed from glory to glory. There's going to be change, development, transformation. Another thing he says about sheep people is that they'll begin to bear witness to those who have been shut off and closed. And as I was reading that phrase tonight, we don't get a pick who those people are, because sometimes you know, there's some out there that have been shut off and closed that we've been pounding on for a while, and it's just like, oh man, this is my time for them, you know. Well, it may not be them. It may be some others that were shut off and closed. So we don't necessarily get to pick who those people are, but we'll get to begin to bear witness to them. But he says, but the time might be brief. So we've got to be ready for that. And he says, gird up your loins. He says, you got to be ready and prepare to be a witness and to live holy. And that's what the messages on Sunday morning have been getting into, about living holy. This is what God's looking for. He says that sheep people are looking for the deeper things of intimacy with him, not just being able to quote more scriptures, but intimacy with him. And it's about maturity. It's about growing up in God. Growing up in God. And he says, my body is coming together. So there's lots of things in there. So we're going to look at a bunch of things, going to look at a bunch of scriptures. If you want to flip to all of them, you can. But if it's too much flipping, well, I'll just flip for you. And you can look them up later if you want. But we're going to start out in Romans chapter 6. And we're just going to look at these qualities from this word that are already in the word. He's put them together in a way that is speaking to this year, speaking to this time right now. And they're all in here. They've been here from the beginning. The word was in the beginning. So it's always been here. But he's putting them together in a way that speak to us right now, that this is the now time for these words to come alive for us. We're starting Romans 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And this is one of the first things of walking with God, walking with him, that we could should walk in the newness of life, walking in the Lord. This morning's message about walking in the Spirit, what that is compared to walking in the flesh. Walking with God is walking in God's reality, what God says is, not walking in what's just around us temporarily for the moment, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. I think you even touched on that this morning, that even though sin might be knocking on the door, sin might be pushing, trying to get to us, we don't have to listen to it. We don't have to listen to sin. We can walk with God. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we won't even turn there because it's so familiar. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And again, that just reinforces what we were hearing this morning. Walking by faith is walking in the reality of the things of God and ordering our lives according to those things, not by what we see around us. Praise God. Isn't that good? I thought this morning, I just need to repeat this because I just thought it was so good. It was such a great example when he said, are you born again? Are you going to go to heaven when you die? And you know, we're all thinking, well, yeah. Well, how do you know that? Because I still see you. You're still here. How do you know you're going to go to heaven when you die? Well, it's because of faith. Well, all of life in God is because of faith. We live in this. We live in what this says about who we are and about what we can do and what we can have and where we're going and what we'll be and what we are now. This is walking with God, walking in that reality, and it's a walk of faith. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. All of these verses that I'm going to look at tonight, they're all familiar verses, but they just reinforce what God is speaking to us about this time. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. Kind of a long thing, but it gives us another look at it. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and this is, these works are this temporary realm. They come from the fallen temporary realm. adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. All that other stuff that looks like that. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You practice those kind of things, you are not going to enjoy the kingdom of God. Here, wherever, you're just not going to enjoy it. But the fruit of the Spirit, of walking in the Word, walking with the Lord, being close to God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, walking with God. Ephesians 2:10, just a couple pages over, says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has prepared things for us to walk in, and we're only going to walk in them as we walk with Him. That's the only way we'll be able to walk in those good things that He has prepared for us. Let's go over to Ephesians 5, just another page or so over. Just reinforcing this. Verses 8 through 10 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, walking with the Lord. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Part of what you find out when you walk with God is what is acceptable to Him. I mean, we all have an idea of what we think is acceptable, and every one of us have different ideas because, you know, we might have a lot of the same ideas, but each one of us might have a little bit different idea as to what is really acceptable. There might be some things in my mind that aren't acceptable, but in your mind, they are. But if we'll walk with God, He'll tell us for sure. It won't be just our opinion. It'll be what God has. It says, find out what's acceptable to the Lord. And then down in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, walk carefully, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." This ties in with what he says. You know, this time is going to be kind of a short time. So you got to redeem it. You got to walk with God. You got to know what He wants and got to do what He wants so that we can redeem the time, that we can make the best use of the time. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Sheep people do not wander around and, well, I don't know what God wants. I don't know. I don't know if this is God's will for me or not." We are not sheep people if that's what we're doing. Sheep people walk with God and know what His will is because they talk to Him and He talks to them. They have relationship with Him. So we walk with the Lord. In 1 John 1:7, it just continues. Is that right? 1 John 1:7. I don't think that's right. Yes, 1 John 1:7. First Epistle of John. That isn't the right one. Anyhow, we're to walk in the glory of God. That's the point. He said this before, and it was just a scripture. I just might have jotted something down wrong. But we're to walk in the glory of God. So, don't worry about that verse. It's not the right verse. But we're going to walk in the glory of God. Praise God. We're going to keep moving on. We're going through all these sheep people things that God said in this word. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. Boy, this goes with this morning's message too. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We've got to seek God's face. God says, you got to seek me. You got to look for me. You got to be hungry for me. Those who are hungry for me, those who are seeking God's face. In Isaiah 55, 6, the scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is all the way through in general, up till now, God can be found when people seek him. But this is a time when God can be found. And there are times in everyone's life where you may be in a place where God can't be found. If you have not been seeking him, if you have not responded, because God always initiates. Whenever you have an inkling to seek God, when there's something on the inside that I need to seek God, God is initiating that. But if you don't respond, if you just keep ignoring it, there may be a time when you think, man, I should have been seeking God. I've really messed up. And it isn't a witness necessarily from the Spirit. It's just, I can't help myself anymore. And you try to seek God, and he's a little harder to be found. Now don't take that as it's hopeless for you. Don't take it that way. But there are times when God is calling you, when he's tugging on your heart. And it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. If he's tugging, it's a now time. It's a time to respond to God. And we want to take advantage of those times. Because up until, I don't know about you, but up until a couple of years ago, it's sort of like you know you're getting near the end of the age, but it's really not that crucial. But in the last year or so, we are getting near the end of the age. I mean, it's looking really, really possible that Jesus could return in our lifetime, of all of us in this room. And a lot of times we live like, well, yeah, we know that's going to happen, but that'll be after I'm dead and gone, you know. And we don't really think about it, but it's a now time. And now's the time to seek. Now's the time to get things straight, to draw close to God, to really walk with him, because things are changing in the world. You know, in the other word that came forth the following week, he's talking about, you know, if you've been riding off of the blessing of someone else and you haven't been living in the blessing yourself, it might be a little tough. It's going to require some transformation and change in us. You know, so that because God's just, he's making a distinction. Flip back to Matthew 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those who are hungry to be right with God will be satisfied. I mean, God is looking for people that are hungry for him and that are hungry to be right with him. He will satisfy us. He will satisfy us. And 1 Peter 2:2, let's take a look at that. This says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, hopefully, most of us, you know, we should, you can always drink some milk, and it's always good to have milk, but we should be moving on. There's been some chunks of meat being tossed out lately, and we need to be able to chew on them. We need to have grown up enough that we can handle that word. But desire that milk to get going, desire growth, desire the word of God, desire these things, because the hungry will hear from God. I mean, if you are hungry for God, you're going to hear from him. I mean, he is just, he loves to respond to people calling out to him in faith. That's what pleases him. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And when we call out to him, knowing that he's God and that he'll reward us, he'll help us, he'll answer us. Oh, he loves that. That pleases him. And he's moved by faith. He's not moved by our pitiful condition. I mean, he is to a certain extent because he sent Jesus. He did his part, but then it requires a response back before more things can take place. And that response of faith towards him, oh boy, he runs to that. He'll pass over gobs of people in need that don't have any interest in looking to God for their answer to find one little soul out there that knows that God's the answer. He'll go after them. We will hear from God. Now let's go to Romans 12:2. Everybody in Sunday school knows this verse. We're going to get this just down deep in us. There'll be no question about this. Romans 12:2 tells us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He said in the Word, they're going to conform their lives to the fresh revelation. We are going to take that revelation, we're going to put it in our soul and in our heart and be transformed, and we are going to prove, be living examples of the will of God, of the perfect will of God. That's what's going to make us shine, is when we walk in the will of God. You know, a lot of times we can kind of look at the spiritual aspects of we are the light and Jesus is the light and Jesus is in us, but it's all just kind of nice religious terms. But our transformation is what makes the light shine. When Jesus was transfigured on the mount in front of Peter and James and John, you know, it's the same word. He was transfigured. The inside came to the out, and he became white as light, bright shining light. Well, that's what's in us, and as we allow that transformation to take place, that proves the will of God, our light shines. That's what people are going to be able to see. And if we're not letting that transformation take place, we're not going to be experiencing the good will of God. We're not going to be experiencing that will, and people aren't going to be able to see that we've got something that's stable when everything's shaking. Because we're going to be transformed. We've got to let that transformation take place. 2 Corinthians 3:18 continues with this idea. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look into the mirror of the Word of God, James talks about the mirror of the perfect law of liberty. The Scriptures are the perfect law of liberty. As we continue to look into them, feed on them, desire that sincere milk for the Word, desire those things. Let it come into our thinking and into our heart and change us and transform us. It says we are going to be transformed into the same image of Jesus from glory to glory. Just like God was saying, my sheep people will be transformed from glory to glory. We are going to be changed. We are going to become more and more like Jesus. Not just nice people, but like Jesus. There's nice people out there that aren't saved, that are nice. But we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be transformed from glory to glory. Now, the next thing that he goes into then is, you know, this is all about us walking with God, walking in his glory, seeking his face, being hungry for God and hearing from him, and conforming to what we hear, conforming to what he says, obeying what he says, that we're changed, that we become transformed to look like Jesus. Now, with that in process, and you don't have to get all this exactly perfect. There's not, well, until you get this perfect to this place of transformation, nothing else can happen. But that's what's going on in us, that process. Now, 1 Peter 1, chapter 3. This is where what our outward activity becomes then, not just our relationship with God, but in 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16, it says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience." When we walk with God, when we're letting His Word transform us, we're going to have that good conscience. We're going to have that relationship with God. We're going to be transformed. And then it says, now, be ready to give a defense for people that ask. Because He said, people are going to come to you and say, you know, how can you handle this stuff that's going on? You seem to be at peace. Everything seems to be okay with you. Why is that? Well, we got to be ready to tell them. We can't just go, well, I guess I'm just lucky, you know. We can't do that. We've got to be ready with the answer and the reason for the hope that's in us. Because we have a reason, and that reason is Jesus. It's not because we got, you know, good draw in the lottery or something. It's Jesus. It's His life in us. Go back to Colossians chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6, this is more about our relationship with the people. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. See that important thing of this time frame that we're in. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now when we, a lot of times, you know, and there's a time and a place for this. You know, we've done it before. We learn a little presentation to go witnessing to people. You know, we've had, you know, do you know that God loves you and has a plan for your life? Or we've had the Romans Road kind of plan. You know, we have this little prepared plan that we can work through to share Jesus with people. But he's saying, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you can know how you ought to answer each one. There's something when you are witnessing to people. Sometimes you may not need to give them, you know, Romans Road, or you may not need to go through this whole plan of life and everything. There's one particular thing that's going to touch their heart, that's going to reach them. And our relationship with God, our living in the Word, living in the Spirit, walking with God, hearing with God, all that's going to produce in us the ability to know how to answer each one. Because there's some people that will come and ask questions that maybe they aren't necessarily interested in your answer. They're just curious as to, you know, oh, well, how come you're getting by? They might not, you know, they might just be bent because you've got things going well and they don't. But you'll know how to answer each one. There's an answer for people like that. And then there's an answer for the ones that really are looking for an answer. And we're going to be ready because we're going to be prepared. We're going to be able to witness to them. And the emphasis in this is that this time might be short. I mean, for us, whether time is short or not, if we're safe in Jesus, doesn't really matter. But for those that don't have Jesus, this short time, it's crucial. I mean, they're in one of those places where it's time to seek the Lord while He may be found. Because it might be a little harder to seek Him when things get worse. Who knows what it's going to be like in the tribulation? I mean, we can read the stuff that goes on in the Scriptures and have some ideas of things that's happening then. It's like, I'll tell you, some people, when life gets tough, they do not look to God. And in the Scriptures, it tells us that there's going to be some people, and in the Word, I don't think it was this one, but in the Word from the 8th, they're going to curse the light. They're going to curse the very answer that could deliver them, and they're going to curse it. They're not going to, this is a crucial time for these people for be able to get things together. So we're gonna gird up our loins. Praise you, Jesus. 1 Peter 1. I didn't read that scripture. I got a little mixed up here because I have to go back to the same book we were just in a minute ago. 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Here again, gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare yourself. Get yourself built up in the Word of God. Know the Word of God forwards and backwards. Know it. I mean, memorization is good, but know it in your heart. Know what it says. Don't know just the words or the location of the scripture. Know what it means. Apply it in your life so that you can be girded up and be sober, so that you can be ready. You can be holy. You can be transformed. You can be a witness. Just your very existence becomes a witness because of the way you're living in the things of God. Romans 8. We're getting about done here with scriptures. It won't be too much longer. I know it's a bunch of them, but it's good to put your eyes on them and see them. Romans 8:14. And this is kind of a summary of these things. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is what God's talking about. This growing up, this maturity, this developing in God. And he says, the mature things is deeper intimacy with him. That's maturity. A lot of times, you know, there's a lot of things that characteristics of maturity. But from what God is saying here, the one he's looking at right at the moment or emphasizing is intimacy with him. That's the deeper things. We, you know, sometimes we like deeper stuff that we can just wow people with, lots of nice, neat words and concepts and all that kind of stuff. But it's being led by the Spirit of God or the sons of God. And that word sons means mature. It's not just a child of God. Not that you belong. I mean, you can belong to God and not be a son of God because you're not mature. But the mature ones are led by the Spirit of God. They hear, they look for God, they seek him, they hunger for him, they hear from him, and they do what he says. That's maturity in the things of God. And now Ephesians chapter 4. We were just beginning to touch a little bit in this in Bible study. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. He wants us to grow up. No longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now there's a whole lot in that, and you come on Wednesday nights and I'm sure we'll get into every three words of that section, because there's a whole lot of stuff in there. But the whole idea is that the body is coming together. You know, these are the fivefold ministry gifts, and they have come to equip all of us to do the work of the ministry. They have come to equip all of us to walk by the Spirit of God, to walk in the Word of God, to grow up, to mature, so that every one of us supplies our part, because we all need each other. Every one of us has a part to supply in the body of Christ, and we need all of them. And as we all come together, it makes us one. It unites us as we all contribute our part. It holds us all together. And that's one of the weaknesses right now in the body of Christ, is we're not holding together real well. We've not come together like we should. But that's what God's looking for. That's what he wants. He says, this is the hour my body is coming together. So it's going to happen. Praise God. Let's hope let's live so that we can be in it. And that we can be knit into that and knit together and enjoy that benefit. his body is coming together. So with all of those things, just those particular qualities that the Lord brought out in that word, are you a sheep? Are you doing these things? Are you walking with the Lord? Walking in his glory? Are you seeking his face? Are you hungry to hear from him? Do you take time to listen? Are you conforming your life? Do you know all the right scriptures? Or are you putting them into practice that they're actually changing your life? That they're actually working in your life? And being transformed? And being ready to witness? Do you have an answer for people? Do you have a pat answer when somebody has a problem? Or do you have the answer for the moment? That you know how to answer that particular time and that particular need? Or do you just, you just need to believe God, you know? I mean, yes, they need to believe God, but sometimes you just need to believe God isn't the answer they need to hear. They need something that they can hold on to in a way that speaks to them. So, you know, we need to just look at these things. Are we a sheep? Now, in this process, naturally, you know, being somewhat in a teacher mode, you got to look up what the words mean, right? So I looked up sheep. Well, I just figured, you know, it's going to be white, fuzzy, four-legged animal that goes bah, you know, sheep. I wasn't expecting too much deep on the word sheep, but I looked it up anyway. Well, it does say that it's a quadruped, you know, four-legged, but that it walks forward. There's not hardly any definition, you know, and then it says sheep. But it walks forward, and I thought that was interesting. But the root word, you know how the old languages are, you know, those roots, boy, they pull stuff out of them that goes with it. The root word for a sheep is to walk forward, to advance, plus to be of great age, to go farther on. Isn't that interesting? It's maturity. God is looking for mature people. Sheep people grow up. Sheep people walk forward. They advance. And the being of great age, I don't think we have to be, you know, 110 to qualify to be a sheep. But they go farther. They keep moving on. They keep going on in God. They're not content to just know John 3:16 and know they're going to go to heaven when they die. They're not content with that. They want to be a full, functioning, contributing part of the body of Christ and working in the plan of God, walking in the good works that God has planned for them. Every one of us have different good works that God's planned for us. A lot of them might be similar, but every one of us has things that God wants us to accomplish. There's people that we're going to affect. Each one of us have certain people in our lives that we're going to affect, that we're going to touch, that we're going to change with the Spirit of God and with the power of God and affect their lives for their good. And so we all have that. But that's what sheep are. They walk forward. They advance. They go farther on. I thought that was wild because I was not expecting to find anything more than woolly things that go by, you know? And I just thought that was interesting. Okay, last scripture here. Well, not next to the last scripture, sorry. We're getting close. John 10. This is getting into the real sheep talk here. I want to look at the first five verses of 10 and then verses 27 and 28. Because Jesus is dealing with the sheep situation. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens." Now, that's Jesus. He's the shepherd of the sheep. We know that. But here he goes. He says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Now jump over to verse 27, 28. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That is what sheep are all about. This is sheep characteristics from the words of Jesus. Now, based on these words, this is just a few comments out of the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's commentary about sheep and the characteristics of sheep. They quickly hear the voice of the shepherd. They quickly hear the voice of the shepherd. And they don't follow anybody else. They depend entirely on the shepherd. They seek his help because they can't help themselves. That's what sheep do. Years back, when we took the youth to Holy Land USA down in Virginia, they had sheep down there, a little flock of them. And being the animal lovers that we are, you know, and sheep are so neat, you get to dig your fingers in their wool, you know, it's just kind of fun to pet sheep and everything. And I can remember that all these sheep were out there, and Gordon started calling to the sheep. And it's like, you know, I don't know what all you say, whether it's here, sheep, you know, come here, come on, you know, because it works with dogs and sometimes cats, you know. But just the design, and do you know those sheep did absolutely, they paid absolutely no attention to that whatsoever. It didn't, I mean, they just ignored him and just kind of shied away. And then when the shepherd, the man that took care of the sheep came, he just opened his mouth and said a word, just sort of like, hey, or come. And those sheep turned and just rushed to him. They quickly respond to their shepherd. And they won't follow somebody else. Now, if you're following things that aren't God, you are not a sheep. You could be a lost little lamb, but you are not a sheep. Sheep pay attention to the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him, and they won't listen to the voice of somebody else. They won't go following after somebody that's saying some other kind of interesting thing that doesn't line up with what the shepherd's already said. They don't do that. They won't go there. They only follow their shepherd. They only listen to him, and they depend entirely on him, and they seek his help because they can't help themselves. Poor little sheep, they fall down over a cliff, they can't get back up. The shepherd's got to go get them. If they get in the water, you know, because the Bible tells us the shepherd leads the sheep by still waters. Well, if they get in rough waters, their wool absorbs all the water, and then they fall over and they drown because they go floating down the stream, you know, because they can't help themselves. They need their shepherd so bad for everything. And if you don't move them from a pasture, they'll eat grass, and when they get done with grass, they eat the roots, and when they get done with roots, they eat the dirt. They have to follow the shepherd to get good food, otherwise they'll end up eating dirt because they can't help themselves. They just don't know. They don't know what they need to do, so they gotta follow after the shepherd. Just some interesting qualities about the sheep that we need to remember. And just whenever you hear the shepherd tugging in your heart over anything, you need to follow the shepherd. You need to go after him because you don't have a clue. On your own, you don't have a clue. You need the shepherd. And one of the interesting things that I heard Creflo Dollar say just a couple weeks ago. He wasn't preaching on this. It was just sort of a passing comment. He's preaching on getting your life straight, basically, which is timely. But he just made a passing comment. He says, we are in the time of the separating of the sheep and the goats. And let's go to Matthew 25, because that's where Jesus talks about that. We're just going to kind of finish up with this. Because sometimes we just have an idea of what that might be like, and we could maybe miss some things. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 32. It's a little bit of a lengthy session, but we got a few minutes here. We got time to do this. Jesus is saying that when the Son of Man comes in his glory and with all the angels, and he'll sit on his throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Now, this right and left, the sheep on the right hand is a sign of honor. The goats go to the left hand, which is a sign of dishonor. And he is speaking of the nations here, but we're just going to continue to read on a little bit. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, to the sheep, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." And then he'll also say to those on his left hand, that's the goats, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. Naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me." Then they will also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We are in the time of separation. And, you know, we look at that, and yes, that's a specific time. That's kind of this final judgment time where there's this separating of the nations, of those that, you know, have operated in love towards God's people, those who have served God's people, those who have not paid any attention and disrespected God's people. You know, we can have all this idea and all that. I'm not saying I've got that all figured out or I know exactly what that's going to look like, but we sort of have that idea that, well, that's just, you know, out there somewhere. That's in the future. It's coming, but it's just sort of one of those things that'll happen after we've already been raptured and everything will be okay. You know, so we don't have to really pay attention to that. But what if that separation starts now? We look at it as, oh, well, it'll just, after everything's all done, then there'll be this division. There is going to be division now. Even if you just look at the rapture, there's division. Because there's going to be some people go, and there's going to be people not. There's division. It's not this spiritual place and thing of happening. It's dealing with in the here and now. And it's a time of that separating of the people. And we want to be sheep. And the characteristics here of the sheep are they love one another. They take care of one another. They minister to one another's needs. And it's to the brothers of Jesus. Now, you can interpret that how they treat Israel, or you can interpret that how we treat us, because we are his brothers and sisters. We are his family. I think it works both ways, but as his family, our job is to minister to one another, to show the love of Jesus. And in the commentary, it was interesting because they talked about how the people, the righteous, will answer him and say, you know, well, when did we ever do this to you, Jesus? Because Jesus isn't here in the body to do these things too. And, you know, he says, well, if you did it to anyone that belongs to me, that's my brother, you've done it to me. And he says, they do not get puffed up and say, yep, we did, didn't we? We knew it. We knew what Jesus wanted, so this is what we did. He says, they don't do that. They look at him and say, but when did we do this? They recognize that, you know, we didn't do anything to, quote, be worthy of this. This is the gift and the grace of God for us. But then these others, their response is, well, when did we see you? We didn't see you. We didn't see you. Well, if it had been you, Jesus, we'd have fed you. We'd have taken you in. We'd have visited you. We'd have helped you. We'd have put clothes on your back. We'd have done that if it had been you. And he said, if you didn't do it to these, you didn't do it to me. But just the difference in the approach of things. So we want to have a sheep approach. We want to have a sheep approach. We want to follow Jesus. This is our time. This is the time for us to rise. In the word from the 8th, God was talking about just the shaking that's going on, that it's going to appear that we're going to rise to the top. And it's not so much that we're rising to the top, it's everybody else has fallen. They're fallen when the quaking and the shaking happens. And it makes it appear that we're being lifted up. But it's our time. It's our time of separation, our time of setting apart. And we hear words all the time and have for years of just, you know, there's going to be this great revival. There's going to be this time. There's going to be this separating of the sheep and the goats, or the separating of God's people. There's going to be a definite distinction. And a lot of times we hear that and, well, yeah, but we don't think about it. It's going to happen in this realm. We kind of just usually push things off like that of, well, that's judgment, that's the rewards, that's the decisions, that's the book of life, you know, all these different things, and we put it up there in heaven somewhere instead of right here. And things are right here, and we're living in that time. We're living in this. God says, my body is coming together. We are going to see something that we have never seen before. There's been a lot of wonderful influence of the body of Christ. I mean, look what the 12 disciples did in spreading the word, and now here we are Christians because they heard and obeyed, you know, of what they did. And wonderful things that have happened, but we are living in a time where the body of Christ is going to come together, and it's going to be a sight to behold because it's going to be something we've never seen before. But if we're sheep people, we're going to know it. We're going to recognize it as it starts to take place, because we're going to be a part of it, and we're going to see it, and we're going to begin to experience it. And it just seems that things are going to change in our relationships with people. There's going to be more of a coming together. There's going to be a closer knitting together of us as we serve God together, because God's doing that. He's bringing us together, because that's in all that unity is where the power is. It's where the glory is. I mean, we're not going to be just a little light here and a little light there. I mean, that might be some truth to that, but there's going to be something that is going to be so evident that people are going to know that you are part of his body. Some of them might like it, some of them might not, but they're going to know. And we're going to be in that. We're going to be sheep people, aren't we? We are sheep. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Praise God. We are God's sheep. Hallelujah. And he spoke to us. He told us this, you know? What an honor that God has said these things to us. Because he's saying these things to the whole body of Christ around the world. And he said them to us. Said them to this little bunch right here. He said these things to us. We are his people. He's preparing us for these final days. He wants us to be fit and ready for everything that's about to take place. He wants us to know. So when it happens, we'll go, oh, this is what that is. Just like on the day of Pentecost, Peter goes, oh, this is what Joel was talking about. All of a sudden, revelation hits. And when the body starts coming together and these things start taking place, we're going, oh, wow, this is it. It's happening. We're in it. It's going on. Oh, wow. It's all coming to pass. It's all coming to pass. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you, God, that you have honored us with this word. You have spoken. spoken these things to us, God, to prepare us and make us ready so that we can be a part of everything that you're doing in these last days, that we won't miss out on any of us, We're going to just be right up there with all the people that we look to and respect as the really big people in the body of Christ. But God, you haven't treated us as little people. You've treated us as your sheep, the ones that you're speaking to and instructing and helping and directing. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for Jesus. We are so grateful, God, that you have just brought us in, lifted us up, and you're giving us these instructions and teaching us so that we won't miss out on a thing. You love us so much. And Father, we love you. We are so grateful, God, that you have included us. You have accepted us in Jesus. You have brought us in, God. When we were not a people, you've brought us in, and now we're your sheep people. Oh, we praise you, Father. We thank you for it. Father, I just bless everyone in this place tonight and their faithfulness to you, their dedication and desire for you, Lord God. I bless them. Let your word come alive in them. Let revelation be rich in their understanding, Lord God. Let that relationship with you just grow and develop and increase. Let them be filled to overflowing with knowledge and understanding, that they'll be ready in any time or any place. When one of those seeking people asks a question, they'll have the answer. They'll be able to give the answer out of their own heart, from their own life and own experience with you. Not just some pat answer. They'll know, because they know you, God. I just thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.